come to worship. I've come to lift up your name, for you deserve this. Life laid down like the one that you gave. I have but one voice, one heart and one sacrifice. So won't you take this? Life laid down and be glorified. To worship, I've come to lift up your name, for you deserve this. Life laid down like the one that you gave. I have but one voice, one heart and one sacrifice, so won't you take this?
That just came across my mind as we were singing. It's angelic. This is heavenly. This is what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. We get to worship Him in all His glory with brothers and sisters. They are singing different songs. I wonder what kind of songs they sing on the other side of the continent, other side of the world. Is it going to be something like this or a little different? Is we going to learn new songs? We get to praise Him right there and see Him face to face. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just something that just was on my mind and I couldn't get rid of it. It was just about the covering, God's covering on us. We pray for God's covering. We pray for His anointing to be over the service every time we get together, to be over His people. And sometimes we look back and we see how God has covered us. And this is an example in 2 Samuel 22, 3 and 4. It says, "My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my Savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and He saved me from my enemies." I'm so thankful. This is when David, he looked back and he saw that how God protected him through what the circumstances that he went through the tests and trials that he went through. And we can look back and we're not reminded of our past, but we're reminded and look back at how God did protect us and how God did save us. And He was our shelter and He was our refuge.
Right.
And He did protect us in ways that we did see when we look back, but He also protects us in ways that we did not see. And we thank Him and we praise Him also for that.
Amen.
And we pray for coverings. My mother called me last night and says, "I want you to pray for your aunt. She's got bleeding on the brain." And I'm thankful that we could go to prayer and we can pray a covering, a prayer over someone that we love in Jesus' name also. And also, in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." I'm thankful for God's covering. I'm thankful for His love that is shed abroad in our hearts, that we have love for one another, that it covers a multitude of sins. I don't have to come in here and feel guilty or ashamed because the love of my brothers and my sisters in Christ that I feel every time I walk in the door, I'm so thankful for that. I have a reason to lift my hands, to praise Him for His goodness, to praise Him for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I am unashamed when I lift my hands. I am unashamed to worship Him and praise Him. Let's continue to do that in this place today.
Proclaim your every need. ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you.
Be seated. I had a little something I wanted to share. When we were singing this song this morning, it was on my mind last week. We just haven't done it in a long time. And when we were practicing it this morning, I just thought, like, my children last night, they made a little mailbox out of like a Sprite pack, you know, those little can packs. And they put in like 8 different little pieces of paper that some had just little drawings on them and some had I love you, you're the greatest parents, and, you know, just different little things from Landon and Kensley. And they thought it was the greatest thing. I mean, they were so excited to show us, and it is. I mean, because there's a quote that I love, and it says, when a child gives you a gift, even if it's a rock they just picked up, exude gratitude. It might be the only thing they have to give you. They have chosen, or the only thing that they have to give, and they've chosen to give it to you. And it is so true. And just as we are his children. And I mean, what do we give the King of Kings? Yes, yes, yes. What real, I mean, he hung the moon. He placed the stars in the sky. He told the ocean. Everything, that we're so small in comparison, but he wants us. Yes. He wants our worship. Yes. He wants us to love on him. And I'm so grateful. So that's all we have to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is this life that's wrapped in tissue-thin skin, so easily broken and bruised, and that's all we have to give. So join me in worshiping him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You have maintain you, for you am the victor.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah, Jesus, you have overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Oh, sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
I know that when we call upon your name and we cry out to you and we lift you up the way that we do, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, you don't hold back, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. I pray that you won't hold back this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, for a response, Lord, to your people. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We're crying out to you today, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Anticipating, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. May this be a dwelling place for you today in your house with your people in your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Brother Mike, will you pray?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Of our home.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place this morning. Yes. The old song says it feels so good just being here again. Amen. Feels so good feeling what I feel again. There's nothing I like better than God's children getting together. It feels so good just being here again. Couldn't help but think while my wife was making some comments concerning children, and I know I've stated many times, I believe that God has taught me so much through the lives of my children. One thing of late that my children have done is that they, stuff that they want, they have come up with this idea that if they contribute, then it's something that's going to happen much faster. So my daughter has got this idea that she wants a pool, and so she told me yesterday, she said, "Daddy, if I give my birthday money that's coming up towards a pool, and then we save and save and save, and then maybe after a year or so, we can get a pool." I said, "Well, it would take more than just 1 year with your birthday money, but that's a great thought." And they come up with their quarter many times saying, you know, we want to contribute this towards something that is much more expensive than a quarter. But I got to thinking about that. You know, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, there's what we bring in relation to what we need. Let me just say this. It's minuscule. We were talking with Kenzie this morning at breakfast and talking to her about, you know, all the costs associated with housing. She didn't realize you had to pay for water and you had to pay for lights and that sort of stuff. And her eyes got real big. "You got to pay for that stuff?" And I said, "Yeah, you have to pay for that stuff." As a child, we don't understand all the things that the Father does for us. We don't see the many things that He does for us, His goodness towards us, the things that He provides that we don't even recognize that He's providing. And then we come on a Sunday morning and we lift our hands and we offer up our praise. And I realize that in comparison, it's small. And it's maybe but a quarter that we bring. But here's the difference. Here's what really makes the Father pleased, is that we choose to bring it to Him. A quarter really doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of the expense, but the fact that my children are willing to come and give it to me and say, "Here, Daddy, I want to contribute," you know what? That means something to me. My little praise, my little voice, my little hands lifted up high, they don't really mean much in the grand scheme. There's 7.5 billion people on the face of this earth, but guess what? My Father is pleased that I choose to come and give that praise unto Him, that I choose to lift my hands, that I choose to lift my voice. Oh, it's minuscule in the grand scheme, but oh, He takes such appreciation and He finds glory in our willingness to give it unto Him. So I don't want to fail to bring my praise. I want to fail to lift my voice and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Those of you that were not here on Wednesday, we did make an announcement. This coming Wednesday night, the 27th, we will not be having a midweek service. And the reason why that is, starting tomorrow, they are replacing the roof that is on this building, and they have to go all the way down to the trusses, replace all the decking on the shingles. So they are starting that work tomorrow, And so hopefully we'll have it wrapped up by next weekend. But we're going to have church next Sunday, even if there's stuff in the way. But they promised that they would have everything done and wrapped up hopefully by this Thursday. Also know there'll be some here working. I want to say a special thank you to Brother Kreger, who has been diligent in making sure the kitchen is being done. And I want to thank Brother Gary Piles. He's offered to come this week and paint. Now that the drywall's done, he's offered to come and paint. So thank you, Brother Gary. And there's just a lot going on, and that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. Not only do we have a lot going on in the way of construction and renovation around here, but we also, as we approach August, we know that that's children going back to school. And next Sunday night is Faith and Family Night, and so it's going to be a little different Faith and Family Night, a little different format. We want to present to you a Sunday school drive and some other things that we want to do around here. In the sense of events and the back-to-school bash and other things that are going to be happening. We need your help and participation. So that Faith and Family Night is going to be about faith and family events that are coming up in the next few months. And so we want you to come and be a part of that next Sunday night for our Faith and Family Night. After service this morning, there's a table set up at the back, baked goods. And this is an opportunity for you to give. It is by donation. And all the proceeds are going to go to help our Sunday school teachers, those that can or are willing to go to Investing in Futures conference happening in August there in Silvis Moline. A great conference. I haven't had the opportunity to be at before. And we are going to try to help offset the expenses of that by raising funds through the bake sale. So at the conclusion of service, please make yourself privy to those things back there and partake of them and give. I know you are a giving people, and I appreciate that very, very much. Why don't you stand to your feet? If you have your Bibles, and you would be so kind, turn in them with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. First Corinthians chapter number 3. Our ACs have been running all morning, and they just aren't able to keep up with the heat that is bearing outside. So I realize if you have to fan or whatever, but they're running. They're running strong. They're just not strong enough in dealing with the heat that is outside. But I just wanted to let you know that we haven't had any more issues with the ACs. Thank the Lord. In Jesus' name, no more issues with those. But thankful that you've made the effort to be here in the house of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. Everybody say, take heed. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, everybody say try. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'll draw your attention back to verse number 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Take heed how you build. Take heed how you build. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of your presence that we feel in this place. Lord, we thank you for people, God, who have gathered together to give you glory and honor, God, to bring offerings of praise unto your name. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we would be encouraged, uplifted, God, that we would look, God, at the lives that we build, God, and understand that we should take heed how we build, Lord, to make sure the material which we use, God, is stuff that will last, that will stand the test of time. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Take heed how you build. The story was first included in the nursery rhymes of England, in London and New York, copyrighted 1886, by James Orchard Halliwell Phillips. The story, in arguably its best known form, appeared in English fairy tales by Joseph Jacobs, first published therein in 1890, and it credited Halliwell as its source. The story involves anthropomorphic swine, thrice in number, that in seeking to find their way and establish their own fortunes, they construct abodes of diverse material with which they reason to resist the tempestuous tenor of their toothy assailant. Or we might just call it the story of the three little pigs. The moral of the story is to take time to focus upon constructing something that will stand the test. For the first two pigs, as we commonly know the story, they quickly and casually construct their homes, one of straw and the other of stick, respectfully in order to hastily resort to play, while the third pig takes time to construct a sturdy and a secure home. The only house, might I add, that stands against the wiles of the wolf. While it may just be a nursery rhyme, and while we may scoff at using it as an introduction to a sermon, I think we would be wise to see its scriptural parallel, that we might take heed how we build, that we might listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, and we would understand it matters what material we use, and it matters upon what we build. How we construct this house, how that we endeavor to build this life that the Lord has laid into our charge, that He has placed us as stewards over. I hope and I pray that we, like the Apostle Paul, could look at our lives and say and suggest, if you will, that only by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ have we obtained unto being a wise master builder. And the only way that we can be assured that we will build correctly, the only way that we can understand and know according to the Word of God that what you and I construct will stand the test of time, that it will endure when other things fall, that it will be able to withstand the wiles of our enemy, the only way that we can be assured that it will last is first and foremost, we must establish that Jesus Christ is the only foundation. That Jesus Christ, how we build, must begin with Jesus. Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, said in Ephesians 2:19 through 22, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." See, we know this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This life that I lead, this lifestyle that I choose to live, it is according to the Scripture. It is to be a habitation of God. It is to reveal in my lifestyle and what I do that the foundation of how I live is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the one. Jesus expressed the importance of the right foundation in a parable in Luke 6. For Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man, notice this, that without a foundation. Jesus said, if you hear but you don't do, it's just like building without any foundation at all. If you don't hear and then do according to the word of God, it's as if you have nothing underlying. It's as if you have no foundation at all. And this man that heard but did not do, he built a house without a foundation upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Words of the old song are true. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I will not build a life that is successful spiritually. I will not build a family that pursue the things of God if I do not make sure first and foremost that the foundation that is laid is none other than Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good and robust it seems. If underneath are not the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ, then I cannot expect it to do anything but crumble. Building upon anything other than the foundation of Jesus Christ is foolishness and destined for calamity. I don't care. It doesn't matter how much fame. It doesn't matter how much fortune. It doesn't matter how much they seem like they have it going for them. If they are not building their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it will not stand the test. When the enemy comes in like a flood, there will be nothing there to raise up a standard against it. And immediately the Bible says it fell, and great was the fall of it. Doesn't matter how much. How tall, how good it looks, how much care was taken in its construction. If what lies underneath is not solid and it is not secure, then I cannot expect it to do anything but fall. For no other foundation can any man lay that is laid, that is Jesus Christ. So the first thing I must do when I take heed how to build is make sure what is underneath is Jesus Christ. To make sure that what I've mixed in is His Word, that He is first and foremost. I must, as the Word of God says, give Him the preeminence. And I urge you this morning, if you are not building your life upon Jesus Christ, if you are not building your family upon Jesus Christ, if the things of God are not a priority for you, and being a part of the house of God, and the things of God are something you can take or you can leave, then you need to understand that will leave you stranded, and that will leave you wanting, and that will leave you with crumbling all around you. You must place Him first and foremost at your life. Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse number 12, now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. He's simply saying it not only matters upon what you build, but it matters with what that you build. There's a lot of people that have a foundation in Jesus Christ, that have been raised in truth, that spent their time in their younger years, maybe as an adolescent and even as a teenager, they had a foundation in Jesus Christ. But guess what? They chose to start building with other material. They started to take on some wood, hay, and stubble and think that they were going to be able to withstand. They started to construct. They were more worried about, like the little pig that built his house of straw, they were more worried about getting their flute because they didn't give a hoot and they just wanted to play all day. I know I'm using a nursery rhyme to make a point, but we need to understand just having Jesus Christ as a foundation. If I do not take heed upon which I build, that it's not only the foundation of Jesus Christ, but the material with which I build upon that foundation is gold and silver and precious stone. It's interesting to note that what this world thinks is gold and silver and precious stone is really wood, hay, and stubble. Furthermore, what this world thinks is wood, hay, and stubble, it's that. It is the gold and the silver and the precious stone. There's nothing more important to me than making sure my children understand that the thing that is most important in their life is that they are a part of the household of God. That they understand, that they learn how to take heed with what they build. I'm doing my best to lay a foundation of Jesus Christ in their lives. But at some point in time, they're going to have to make a decision on their own. With what do I build? What material do I mix into my life? And I know this world is going to try to convince them that what they offer is gold and silver and precious stone, but I'm trying to convince him that's just wood, hay, and stubble. Right here in the presence of God, this is where the gold is. This is where the silver is. This stuff is what's going to stand the test of time. So that begs the question, what eternal material am I mixing into my everyday life? What gold and silver and precious stone am I endeavoring to build with? Is praying just something that I do when tragedy strikes or when I feel the urge of prayer is something that I realize needs to be a part of my everyday life? For it's gold. It's silver. Is church something that I see as an ultimate priority for me and my family? Or is church just something that if I have opportunity to go, well, then I attend? I know I'm preaching straight and I know I'm preaching real, but the Bible tells us, and I believe that we are coming to that time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only way I can be assured that it's going to stand when the flood waters beat vehemently upon it, the only way that I can be assured that the walls will not implode and I will not have to stand amongst the rubble, the only way I can be assured is first and foremost is the foundation, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, am what I'm building with, is it gold and silver and precious stone? See, I need to understand. While the wood, hay, and the stubble appeals to my flesh, because much like my flesh, it's temporary. It is not what's going to make me or help make me make heaven my home. The wood, the hay, the stubble, the stuff that is fun. Man, we need to get back to an understanding of this living for God, this choosing to follow His will and His way. It's just not something that we can frivolously attend to. I'm sorry, but I feel for those people who are part of those congregations that feel there's really no other obligation other than coming and maybe making their presence known and getting their conscience fixed a little bit, that they come in and they feel a little presence of the Lord and they sing a few songs and they worship a little bit, but nothing really changes and they're not really going out and mixing in the material that is gold and silver and precious stone. And Lord, I want you to know whatever it takes to reveal unto me that there's wood, hay, and stubble I'm mixing into my life. Lord, reveal it. Let me know so that I can remove it. I want to build gold, silver, and precious stone. I want to build with incorruptible things that are going to help me make heaven my home. Verse number 13 tells us it's so important we make sure that the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it's furthermore important that we make sure the material with which we build is gold, silver, and precious stone, and not wood, hay, and stubble. For the reason is, every man's work shall be made manifest. There's coming a day of inspection. There is coming a day of testing. Where he goes on to say, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, the foundation of Jesus Christ is safe and secure, but how I have built upon it will be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed with fire. For the same fire that consumes wood, hay, and stubble brightens and purifies gold, silver, and precious stone. Listen, I need the fire of the Holy Ghost working in my life to purify and to sanctify me now. I need the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life to purify and to sanctify me now. So that I can build with gold and silver and precious stone. Lord, burn in me. Burn in me, Lord. Let your fire burn in me. Consume all the wood and the hay and the stubble. Consume all the stuff that doesn't make any eternal sense, Lord. Consume all the stuff, Lord, that keeps me from building with gold and silver and precious stone. Lord, try me now. Let the fire of your Holy Ghost burn in me so that when the day declares it and when it's made manifest, it will not be consumed and it will not be burnt up. But it will only brighten. It will only purify and shine in the brightness of your glory. Lord, help me. Because I want to know of what sort it is now. I want to know of what sort it is now. Lord, I can't lean upon my own understanding, Lord. I can't even trust my own heart because it's desperately wicked. So, Lord, I've got to come to you. You've got to be able to show me what's right and what's wrong. Your Holy Ghost has to lead me and to guide me into all truth. And truth will ultimately reveal. Is it wood? Is it hay? Is it stubble? Or is it gold and silver and precious stone? So I need the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life. For it helps me take heed. It helps me take heed how I build. It helps me make sure that the material that I'm mixing in is eternal. It helps me make sure that what I'm putting together, brick by brick, is not faulty. It doesn't have impurity. Lord, help me. Help me understand. It's so important. It is so vitally important to me that I come before you and allow your Holy Ghost to try me now. That it burns in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Because guess what? The enemy's all the time trying to mix in stuff to my life that's going to crumble. The enemy's all the time trying to mix stuff into my life that's wood, hay, and stubble. And Lord, I need you to help me through the power of the Holy Ghost to see it and to get it out, to take it out of the mix so that I can take heed how I build. And make sure that what I'm doing and how I'm building is right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his home. Genesis 6:22, if you read it, says this, thus did Noah all that God commanded him. I realize Noah was not without his mistakes. I realize Noah, like us in our humanity, he messed up. There's something that Noah got right. In a world full of wickedness, in a world who was not worried about building anything, a world who scoffed and laughed at a man who said, judgment is coming. The Bible says that Noah didn't cut any corners. Noah didn't say, well, I don't really think it matters that it's pitched within and without. I'll just pitch it without. No. The Bible says that Noah did all that God commanded him to do. Every measurement, he made sure that's exact. Everything that God told Noah to do, he did it. Why? Because this, by faith, I prepared this ark. It ain't no rain. I've never seen rain, but I, by faith, believe it's coming, and I need to make sure I don't know what's going to be worthy, what's going to be seaworthy, and what's not. He does, and so I've got to pay attention, and I've got to take heed how I build. I've got to make sure that everything that I do is accordance with what he's commanded. Why? Because, no, it's not just for you. Him. For Shem, it's for Japheth, it's for their wives, it's for your wife, Noah. And I applaud Noah. Though he made mistakes, I applaud Noah. Because when it came to taking heed as to how he built, he made sure and he did everything that God had commanded him to do. So, excuse me, but I'm rather skeptical when people decide that they can pick and choose, that they can determine for themselves what God wants and what God doesn't want, that they can lean upon their own understanding as to what to build and how to build it. No, not me. I want to bury my nose in the book, and I want to make sure that I'm doing all that he has commanded under me to do. I'm not just building this thing for me. I'm not just building this thing for my own salvation. I'm building it to the saving of my house. I'm building it for my wife. And I'm building it for my kids. And so I want to make sure I'll take heed how I build, because it matters. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Apostle Paul said it's so important. Church at Corinth, hear me. See, there's a reason why somewhere in the neighborhood of 2/3 of the New Testament is written to born-again believers. If it was just all about receiving the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and then that's it. Just being born again, and that's all there was to it. But then there would have been no need for Peter on the day of Pentecost to, with many other words, testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It was just about being born again, receiving the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, then there would be no need for all the epistles. There would be no need for all the letters written to the churches to instruct them as to how to build this life they now live for the Lord. It was just about coming and being born again, repenting, being baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. And there would be no need for you and I to gather together on a Sunday morning to once again hear the word of God as it is preached. But you see, I recognize the need. And I want to take heed how I build. And so I want to make sure. Listen, what goes on here is precious. What goes on here, if I come in with this kind of frivolous attitude that I just walk in any old time I want and do whatever I want in the midst of it, I better be careful. It matters. It matters
what I do and how I interact with the Word of God and the people of God and the house of God. It matters. I want everybody to know. I don't want to miss one word that is said. I don't want to miss one song that is sung. Because the word might just need be what I need to take heed. It might just be that word that comes forth. It might just be the lyric in that song. It might just be the spirit that I feel when the Spirit of God begins to move that causes me to look at my life and say, wait a second. I've seen that this week I've gathered together some wood and some hay and some stubble, and I've considered in adding to the construction. I've considered placing it here because it's going to be easier and it's going to make me feel better. But oh! I come and now I hear the voice of God as it speaks to me in the Holy Ghost, as it talks to me. So now I take heed. I take heed what I do. I take heed how I respond. It matters. So I simply come to the pulpit this morning to encourage a body of believers, a group of people. Take heed. Take heed how you build. Make sure Jesus Christ is the foundation. Make sure it's got to begin with Jesus. And I got to make sure the material that I'm adding to the mix, what I'm constructing in my life, it's gold, silver, and precious stone. Because ultimately, every man's work shall be tried with fire. The same fire that will try your work will try my work. And the day will declare it. You need to understand the fire will show no partiality. Catch it. Please understand that the fire will show no partiality. We won't be able to come with excuses as to why I chose wood, hay, and stubble. We won't be able to come and be able to validate why I didn't choose gold, silver, and precious stone. No. I don't care how bad your past is. I don't care how much baggage you bring to the table. I assure you there's someone else with worse who has chosen to build, who has somewhere along the line taken heed and said, hold up, wait a second. What I'm building upon and how I'm building it is not going to stand. I'm not going to make it. I got to change. And so they come before God and they take heed how they build. Now, every day of my life, I make sure, I endeavor to make sure that what I'm building and what I'm adding to the mix, Lord, is it you? Are you the foundation? And am I building upon you as the foundation, gold, silver, and precious stone? In the remaining moments of this service this morning, I would that we would all look at our own lives and say, Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost burn in me. It's amazing how that when I get closer to God and I feel His power and His presence and I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in me, it's amazing how things that I deemed important all of a sudden begin to lose significance and all of a sudden begin to wane in importance. And as I come before Him, I realize what really matters. The wise man Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes made some astounding statements. For he said, it is better to go into the house of mourning than it is to go into the house of feasting. Might I put it in layman's terms? He said, it's better to go to a funeral than it is to a wedding. Why would you make such an astounding statement, Solomon? Why would you pin the words that are so poignant and seem on the surface so repugnant to how we really feel and the way we feel life should be? Why would you say it's better to attend a funeral than it is to attend a wedding? he goes on to say, for this is the end of all men. The reason why Solomon would make such an astounding statement is because a funeral brings you face to face with the reality that you're temporary. And a funeral will have you staring eternity in the face. So it's better. A funeral will have you take heed how you build. A funeral will have you take heed what you're constructing and upon what you are building. A funeral will have you recognize that life is but a vapor, but the hereafter is forever. And so it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why? Because it has us take heed how we build. These altars are open if you want to come and pray. Maybe in the course of this message you've realized, Lord, I've allowed some wood, hay, and stubble into the mix. Lord, help me. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in me. Let it remove the wood, the hay, the stubble. Let the dross and impurities be consumed. Lord, for you are a consuming fire. Lord, that what is left is gold and silver and precious stone. That I take heed how I build. Sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Search me, Lord. Let me take heed how I build. The words of admonition were strong from the Apostle Paul in writing the Corinth church. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For the time's coming. Let him make sure it's gold, silver, and precious stone. For the time's coming. The day is going to declare the inspection will come. The trial will happen. Sure. He did what the Lord commanded. He made sure. He didn't cut corners. He didn't decide for himself, oh, this is not really necessary. He did all that God commanded. He put the door where God said, place the door. He put the window where God said, place the window. He made sure he did all that God commanded him to do. By which he condemned the world. Became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Lord, help me to take heed like Noah did. How I build. Bible tells me that when the Lord comes with the saints, come in a fiery vengeance, Lord, help me. I don't want to be one of those that obeyed not the gospel of truth. Decided to do things my own way and live my own life. Lord, help me. The power of the Holy Ghost burned in my life. Help me, Jesus, to take heed how I build, to make sure that it's gold, silver, precious stone, that it's not wood, hay, it's stubble. One more time, can you lift your hands to the Lord? Can you lift your voice? God, help me. Lord, we thank you for your word.
Jesus.
Opportunity we have to be in your presence, Lord. Let us take heed how we build. Go with us from this place, this remainder of our day. We love you, we thank you, we honor you, and praise you. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Please remember there's baked goods for sale at the back. God bless you for being here. You may go in Jesus' name.